The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Morgan. Happy Thursday and happy episode 153. I don't even know if that's right.
That is right. 153.
Because I'm a fucking genius.
A fucking genius. Guys, sorry we're late to the party. We had to go do some demo.
Literally, we were like, we need to record. We'll be out of here by 8 at the latest.
Eight
at the latest tonight. 7:30 because we took a little break ski and we ripped down an entire room of wallpaper.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And we scrubbed the walls.
And then we literally went and scrubbed every other piece on the wall that we could ever find.
And we're just starting and we're at our limit. We're at our start.
Yep.
End time.
Yep. We're at our end time. But you know what? Today I think is going to be an episode that we can get the
party.
Well, it's not fun, actually, but it's not fun.
You really didn't do that right. You didn't do that right for this episode.
I definitely
did. You did everybody wrong. So this is our back to school special.
Back to school fucking special.
Now
so what
Andrew
we do
Bossiago?
Need to talk with them about right now in this episode is what's to come in September.
And then we'll do back to school talk.
Okay,
here's what's up.
Here's a rundown of everything that you could possibly need to know about the month of September, which you guys know is hell month. For CNC over here.
And it couldn't be worse right now.
We literally said, what's our hardest month? Let's do everything that we ever wanted to do in our entire lives.
Right here, right now. And that's what we did.
That's exactly what we did. Long story short, we're both moving. We'll give you more deets on this later. Patreon knows at this point. You'll learn next episode. Yes, we're still going to be in Knoxville. No, we're not moving apart from each other.
Moving closer.
I've reeled her back
We're
in.
We're psycho.
I actually caused the natural disaster just to get her to move closer.
Taylor said, tornado. She has a voodoo doll of me and she started spinning it around.
Yeah, I did. I flushed it in the toilet.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't work. I went to the mall and I put you in that tornado machine.
You put me in your dryer.
I put you in my dryer. That's exactly what I did. But I only Aaron and Ollie.
Yeah.
And I just made you look through the window.
Yep.
Oh my God. That is so morbid.
Now I'm actually kind of scared that you did do that.
Yeah. Because I 100%.
That was a little too much detail. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, long story short, what's going on in September? Typically, you know what we do when it's coming up to a launch is give you guys some Patreon content. So that way we could have 3 weeks to do everything that we needed to do. This month is going to be different because we're going to save the Patreon content
for my wedding.
Morgan's wedding. So we can actually enjoy it. Not that we don't enjoy being here with you.
I'm pushing for three. Taylor says one. We'll meet in the middle. We'll do two.
We'll do two. I can give up two just fine. Three's a little much.
I'm like, a whole month of Patreon?
No. Three's a little fucking much. So we're not going to do that. But so what we're going to do instead, still making it to where we can do what we need to do to get both moved, get the new studio, launch season 4. We are going to let you guys pick two cases for each of us. But they have to be from season 1 that you want us to revisit.
Like in the first 15 episodes.
The first 15 weeks of Creeps and Crimes. If there's any cases that you want us to revisit, you have to pick two for each of us.
Let's not DM. We'll try to keep a Q&A open on our story for the next 3 days or
so. Let's put it like this. Okay, actually, if you're listening to this, the day this comes out, I'll put it up Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be up until Friday afternoon.
Perfect.
And then I'll run it again on Friday and it'll be where you type what episode and which case that you want us to redo.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see which ones you pick because I can't even think as wide as the first 15, but I know we did a ton of big ones during that time.
Yeah, we were ballsy as fuck.
We were coming out the fucking gates. We were like, what are you guys searching for these days?
Really though.
We'll do it.
I'm like Googling top 10 conspiracies, covering them all.
I'm really excited to see. Oh my God. I can't wait for those episodes if I'm going to be completely honest. Like I want to do those with such an ode.
Yeah.
To what everything was, because I think you guys don't understand where we're coming from with season 4 and what it means. We were questioning if season 3
would even happen
when we launched season 2. We looked at each other and we were like, we will decide in June. But so we had something in the back of our minds for what season 3 would look like. You could not have told me that we would have done this for 4 years back when we did it.
No.
When we started. If you would have told me that, I'd have been like, am I a rich and famous bitch?
Nope.
Because that's
Because the answer is no.
The answer is no. The answer is that's incorrect. But I am really excited to do that because season four is something like we've had such a hard time planning it.
Yeah.
Because there was no vision for it. I never foresaw it going past then.
I know.
That was kind of like where my like, I thought it was going to be a thing, but I never, you know, we always said season three, three seasons. Four? Never heard of her.
Never.
But that's why.
What if we told you guys like this is it? Like what would happen?
Oh my God. Would there be an uproar?
Like, and we just like waited until like August and then like nothing came out on October 1st.
Whoa. Wouldn't y'all freak?
We just like ghosted. No, we would have videos. Christian Crimes podcast hosts are missing.
No, literally. We'd get welfare checks.
I don't know what they would do. That would be crazy.
Oh my God. I'm excited for our studio to be decorated for Halloween. Oh my God, it's coming up. But back to school, and the main question that everyone has given us, and we'll do like things that you need to know about school and like discussions that we're going to have that are going to be fully prompted by the cases that we cover. We'll do that at the end, but I'm going to kind of keep it up while we're up. And
if you're up, then you're up, then you're up, then you.
The main question that we had on our
Q&A
was, what are your favorite memories from uni?
With each other, my favorite memory of you and I, the one that like I always like circle back to. Well, obviously it's lip sync, but my favorite is when we were like, fuck, dude, like, how are we going to figure out these formations? Like, let's just draw them out. And you're like, hold the phone. Runs over, grabs 18 different Chick-fil-A sauces. We had ranch. We had polynesian.
We had everything.
Buffalo. Chick-fil-A sauce. And we start putting them in formations and we're moving. The formations
we
on
stopped
the floor,
where we were
and I'm
in
like,
the hallway.
I'm like, Taylor, that's not where ketchup's supposed to be. Ketchup needs to be over here where ranch is. And ranch is supposed to be where Polynesian sauce is. And she's like, immediately understood.
Yeah.
Got it.
Boom. I love that memory. I think about that actually all the time.
I do too.
Every time I see a Chick-fil-A thing, I always think like, remember when we used that? But the best part about that whole thing was is that we were talking about it. I'm like, hold on. I run out of my room. We did it directly in front of the door to my room. We didn't even like go back and do it somewhere else. We laid it right there on the floor, sat down and did it. That was a good time. I think
I wouldn't say that was my favorite. I feel like we have other.
That's one of
really
our top.
Good.
But that's
like one that I always think of.
Yeah. And that one like really does was like so much foreshadowing for like what it would be like for us to work together.
Right.
When we grew up. When we got older. And that, you know, at that time, if you would have asked us, like, do you think you two are going to be in the same career and working together for the rest of the time? I would be like, literally no.
Literally totally opposite.
She's back. Kinesiology. I'm communications. Okay. I think my favorite one of me and you that's kind of like that, where it's like miscellaneous, is the time that we drove to Cheesecake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I'd like come to Morgan's and laid in her bed until like she fell asleep because you were by yourself. No one else was home. It was like a week leading up to, I guess, when we were moving, going back home, because I have a picture of you at the end of it all where it's like, see you next August,
and I'm just waving
roomy.
My 2008, yeah, 2010 Honda Accord.
Yeah, bye bitch, going back to PA. But anyways, there's like three memories in that. It's like the first one is we drove down to the Cheesecake Factory. We got a bunch of cheesecake and food. We came back to Morgan's apartment. We sat in her bed and we ate our food. We got high, and then we bodied because we didn't have any silverware. We picked up the cheesecake and ate it.
We didn't have any silverware because one of my roommates had moved out.
Yes.
And they took everything.
Everything.
So I had no silverware because I didn't bring the fucking silverware.
And we thought that they were going to give us some silverware, but we didn't think to check because we were dumb and we were 19.
Did Taylor live 2 minutes away? We probably could have went and got a full
100%.
Sure, but who would do that?
No.
Pick up the cheesecake and shove it in your face.
We had already smoked. We had to sit there and eat it, okay? The next night, I come back and I stay with Morgan again. We picked up Bailey and we got food with Bailey. Sonic or something?
Probably.
Sonic.
We fuck.
Oh my God. We stayed at Sonic back then, y'all. We stayed getting Sonic. And we came back. The power goes out. There was this huge outage because someone wrecked into the thing.
Transformer.
Knocked the bitch over. Morgan lived in a gated complex that was electric gate.
Electric gate.
No, we couldn't get them open. People were stuck. Couldn't get in, couldn't get out.
But like my bedroom had like the perfect view of the gate. Like you could see it. So there's like all these kids out there like screaming and they're drunk. Drunk frat boys are over there. They're tearing the gate off the...
Someone got a power tool and unscrewed the fucking thing.
And they're all lifting and they're like, whoa! Me and Taylor's watching through the mirror, shoving cheesecake in our mouth.
We're screaming and Bailey's like, oh my God, oh my God. And then my last one in this little stretch of time is when her other roommate, Parker.
She did a couple of things. She worked at the Body Farm and she was a phlebotomist.
Yeah, so she was a phlebotomist who worked at the Body Farm. Just some Tennessee shit right there. And she came home one day, or was we were all up one morning. I'd spent the night. We had a sleepover. It was the day before you left.
Yeah.
We had a sleepover. Me, Bailey, and Morgan on the couch. And
Parker, I think it was the night with the outage.
Yeah, it had to have been. That's right. That's right. So we wake up the next morning and Parker was getting home from work. Going to the
lab. She would leave. She did mobile phlebotomy. So she would leave at like 4 a.m. and she would make it home before her 8 a.m. class. But she also worked on Saturdays. I think this was a Saturday. But anyway, so Parker comes back from work at like 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like it's early, 7 or 8.
I'm sitting there talking with Morgan and Bailey and I'm like, yeah, I need to go get some blood work done because I haven't got my kidneys checked. It's been a year. Like I'm up. And so I need to get a CBC and all this. And she, and
her mom owns a lab here.
She was like, did you call my name? And she's like, here, pull your arm down. Fucking draws my blood on the couch right then and there. She's like, when was the last time you ate? And I was like, last night when the gates got locked in. That was the last time I ate. She's like, perfect. Puts it in me. We ordered like food or something. I think we had food delivered. We ate it. And then we left and that was the last time I saw you until we moved in together.
Wow. It was crazy.
We had a great time in college. I wish I could go back and I wish I could do that again. Today's episode really is more focused on like children and, you know, elementary, middle, high school.
Because we did college last year.
Yeah, we did college last year. But I just want to say to anyone that's going to college for the first time this year, or anyone that has kids going to college for the first time this year, this shit is so fun. You're going to have the best time ever. You're going to meet so many people. It's going to be...
Maybe you'll meet your future business partner and create an entire... empire of paranormal
conspiracy. Yeah, I mean, maybe, who knows? That's what you might meet your husband, you might meet your wife, your partner for the rest of the time. I mean, this shit, and it's kind of hard your first year because you don't realize how fun it is because you're so overwhelmed and it's a new place, it's new
homesick.
People. Yeah, there's a lot of other emotions that go into it, but I promise you, you'll look back on it at the end and be like, God, I would do fucking anything to go do that shit again.
If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy.
Okay, guys, before we jump into this.
You know life has been crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. I am just living out of my suitcase. You open my fridge, you would find this exactly. A jar of pickles.
Yep.
A bag of pepperoni.
100%.
One bottle of Simply Lemonade.
Yes.
But the one thing that I do have in my Airbnb right now, it's not food, it's a puzzle. And Aaron and I had got this puzzle to keep our mind off of things. And it's been absolutely, actually a big giant stress ball on top of all the stress.
That's where you mess up, you get a puzzle.
I mean, we really picked the 750-piece puzzle. So we were sitting there last Wednesday and we were like, oh, you know, we're going to finish this puzzle. We're going to need a drink.
Yeah. If we're going to commit to this puzzle, I'm going to need another beer.
So we immediately jumped on Drizzly and we ordered ourselves a nice pack of Blue Moon beers.
But did you have oranges?
No.
Oh my God.
That's
tragic.
Where we went wrong.
That's where we went wrong. But don't worry. We'll handle that at a later date. Drizzly is here to be your partner in parties, meaning that they're able to help you take the grunt work out of the get together so you can be a confident host and actually party at your own party. Drizzly has everything from Aperol, you know, that's our fave, Sky, to Wild Turkey 101. And it is the most convenient way to buy beer, wine, and spirits with delivery straight to your door whenever you want it.
Drizzly is the go-to app for drink delivery, especially when you decide that you want to do a 750-piece puzzle.
Right, and especially with all the holidays coming up, you know, we've got so many parties that we're hosting, specifically in the spooky season. You know, we got holidays, Creeps and Crumbs birthday.
Creeps and Crumbs birthday.
And when you're having like all of these seasons coming up with Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the other things,
it's a little chaotic and you usually forget things off the grocery list.
And I always do that. And you know what it always ends up being?
Alcohol.
Alcohol. So then I'll have like a little bit. I'm like, oh, I can make it last with that. No, I can't. So then I'm stressed out the entire party of who's not going to get another drink. And then I go to the store. I got to go get some more drinks. And so that means I can't drink before. But now with Drizzly, I don't have to worry about that.
So download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's DRIZLY.com. And use code Creeps and Crimes to receive $5 off or $0 delivery fee off your next order.
That's Drizzly. DRIZLY.com and use our code Creeps and Crimes to receive $5 off or a $0 delivery fee off of your next order.
Must be 21 or older, not valid in all states. Codes cannot be combined with any other offers. Not valid at all retailers. Code expires 9/8/23, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And here's your prescription.
I know just the pharmacy to get this filled.
Who are you?
A pharmacy benefit manager. A middleman your insurer uses to decide which medicines you can get, what you pay, and sometimes even which pharmacy you should go to.
Why can't I go to a pharmacy in my neighborhood?
Because I make more money when you go to a pharmacy I own.
No one should stand between you and your medicine. Visit phrma.org/middleman to learn more. Paid for by Pharma.
Hi guys, my name is Sarah Nicole and I am the host of the Papaya Podcast, where each week we dish out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom, all through candid conversations in a very real and tangible way. I want everyone to know that they're not alone and that we share in these experiences called life. And sometimes when we get to know somebody else's story, it changes ours a little bit as well. So I want you to tune in with us on Mondays. Subscribe, rate and review it, and keep these conversations going with us. You can tune in behind the scenes at the Papaya Podcast and the Birds Papaya on Instagram as well. Can't wait to see you next week.
All right. So, hey, Morgan, what do you have for us today?
Today I'm covering Slenderman.
I'm very excited to hear about him.
I know. You're so surprised, right?
Oh, my God. I never heard of it before.
Not like you texted me and said, hey, cover Slenderman.
You should cover Slenderman.
Okay. So, if you grew up like me with a fear of people in morph suits, this fear probably originated from the legend of Slenderman, with or without you knowing. Personally, my fear actually originated when we were visiting my mom's friends in Georgia and the power went out. It was a really bad storm.
Oh, I know.
And we were sitting around the table with fucking playing Uno, and one of her older sons went out in his fucking morph suit with a big mask on his face and was up against the window tapping on it. And that's where my fear originated from.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, yours might be Slenderman. I don't know.
Maybe.
If it didn't, then it only adds to the eeriness of a faceless, all one color, tall, shadow looking figure that roams the corners of the background of day-to-day life. Slenderman.
He's one person, I think.
Slenderman is thin. He's slim. He's slender. And he is unnaturally tall. He is usually wearing a black suit and his face is featureless, meaning no eyes, no mouth, no nose, and no ears. It's almost like it's a piece of white or sometimes gray fabric that's like morphed over his face. The first captured photograph of Slenderman is still unable to be identified as to where it came from. The picture I'm about to describe actually arrived at a local police station in Northern California. And this was following a devastating event that took place at its local library, Sterling City Library, which was a really popular spot for children to hang out. In the 1980s, the Sterling City Library was engulfed in flames. It was such a small town that residents knew what was going on. At the same time, police, the fire department, and first responders were finding out. The parents were rushing to the flames as fast as emergency services were, praying that their child was not in there.
Right.
Of course, once everyone arrived, the fire was far beyond any sort of rescue point. After the fire was put out, there were 14 children missing and presumed dead. It took days to clear the rubble and weeks to identify any of the remains. But once the skeletal remains were identified, none of them belonged to the 14 missing children. Months went by when the local police department received a letter, and in this letter was a photo. It was a black and white, grainy photograph of a group of about 10 kids, possibly teens, that are walking in what could be either a driveway, a road, or maybe even a field. And towering in the back of these children, as if it's stalking them or haunting them, is this large, ominous, naturally tall humanoid figure with a featureless white face. So I'm gonna let you look at the picture. Creepy.
Cool.
The description of this photo to the police said, "We didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence in outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. But there was not just one picture in this letter. There was two. The second picture was kept in really close wraps and was never seen by anyone outside of those working this case. Mm. And that's because the children in the second picture are believed to be the ones that went missing from the library. The police then built an entire case around this humanoid, and they notably were referring to him as Slender Man because of his unnaturally long limbs and his build. It was just, he was a humanoid. He wasn't.
He's a Ningen.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Ningen.
Holy shit.
What?
Speaking of Ningen.
What?
Okay, if you guys don't know what this is, it's a cryptid that Morgan covered on our minisodes, which is on the Pour That Shit Up.
$10 tier.
$10 tier of Patreon. The big money balling bitches. Long story short, did you see the release about the new deep sea water animal that they found? Like, I don't even know how to explain this to you.
Like, it doesn't look like a fish. It doesn't look like a bee.
It looks like a giant squid. It's got 20 arms. And they're like incredibly long.
Yeah, aliens are definitely coming from the ocean. You can't convince me.
Dude, this is crazy. I have to pull this up for you just so you can see it. And I need everyone to fucking go look up this. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. Strawberry feather star is what it's called. Bitch, this is what it looks like.
What the fuck?
It is the craziest thing I've ever fucking seen in
what
my life.
What the fuck?
It's huge. They won't say,
you know,
how big it is.
Aliens actually did come from like the deep ocean, right? And they like saw that and we were like, what is that? They're like, literally our dog.
It's
like,
so literally it's my pet.
Like, that's my pet. Like, to them, like, yeah, you know, it's probably like their fucking day to day.
I mean, this is
like,
normal.
What do you mean? That's Molly.
Yeah.
She's a fucking starfish.
That's Molly. Okay, anyways, but that's what's under
that's
the water.
That's crazy.
I don't know what. Oh, the long arms. It reminded me of a Ningen.
Oh, no, that thing's freaky.
Yeah.
I probably would have had nightmares. Okay, so the police are now calling this humanoid Slender Man. And nothing came out of this investigation. None of these children were ever found that we know of. It was really kept wrapped up. Like secrets.
Yeah.
After a while, the police ended up just packing up the case with the original picture and they just placed it away in an evidence locker. And it wasn't until 2009 that this picture, the first photographic evidence of Slender Man, resurfaced. The photo was posted on an internet forum thread called Something Awful by user Victor Surge. But that wasn't the only photo that was posted. Alongside the photograph that almost everyone had seen by then was another picture. And this is the one that the police kept in wraps. This was the one with the missing children. In this picture, the children were younger. They were playing at a park and it's stamped City of Sterling Libraries, Local Studies Collection. And in the back, there was the same tall, slim figure in a suit with about five kids surrounding him. And they looked to be like in a trance looking up at him. And now that you show me that thing, you see him?
Yep.
With like all of his arms?
Yep.
Freaky.
Ew.
And this picture was captioned on the website. One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze. Notable for being taken with 14 children that vanish and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformity cited as film's defects by officials. Fire at the library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986. This went viral as 2009 threads could go. Mm-hmm. And people were jumping all over this because this figure was so familiar to them. It's what lurks in their nightmares, what they were afraid of in their closet growing up. People were coming forward with their own sightings of this being referred to as Slender Man. Their biggest fear now had a name. Like, the most popular monster now had a name. When I thought of a monster, that is kind of what I thought of.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I just like a tall thing. Real, I don't know.
Just like unnaturally long with no face. And what makes it like more sinister is like it's kind of like a clean cut business suit, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like you think about like what the
and
worst of people
would
look like.
And I kind of wonder if like people that do have like contact with Slenderman, if they do see him and he's normal to them. Because like every time you see a picture, everyone's kind of in a trance.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has a face to other people that's a familiar face.
That see him.
And that's why he doesn't have a face at all. Because it's a familiar face to you, to me, to so-and-so.
Right.
But what if I was to tell you that the original poster, Victor Surge, was just a guy named Eric. Eric Knudsen, who was in a Photoshop contest online. His captions to both of those pictures led to an entire fabricated story about some library fire in California. It was all fake. His entry was doing so well that he spent the next weeks doctoring photos, newspaper clippings, and child drawings of Slender Man, pulling more and more readers into a myth that was no myth at all. It was a made-up story for a contest. Eventually, it left this thread, went on to text forward chains and MySpace and Twitter posts, even Facebook. And if we know anything about adults that take a picture out of context, don't know the history of it, and like post it around, put it on Facebook, like I guarantee you 80% of adults in the ages of 50 to 65 would believe that that was real.
100%.
And those that knew that this was just a contest actually joined in on this, that like half the population has no idea that Slenderman was created for a Photoshop contest, while the other half do, and they're feeding.
They can profit off of it.
They're all adding to it. So these other Photoshoppers and creepypasta writers contributed their own Photoshop pictures and their own fabricated stories to start drawing parallels to older legends to make Slenderman more believable, only helping nudge Eric's story further on and beyond where it was in the media.
Right.
Within 2 weeks, this thread was 194 pages long. But because of Slenderman being basically created by, it was a collab, like there were so many people behind it, there are so many versions out there. Some variations, he has multiple arms, like tentacles, like a starfish feather bread. What is it? Strawberry feather fish.
Strawberry feather star.
Like a strawberry feather
star.
They
need to rename that.
Yeah. Just call it fucking Slenderman.
Just give us a call, okay? We'll rebrand you.
Just call it Slenderman. Some stories, he'll kill his own victims, while in other stories, he makes his victims kill each other. Some even say that his arms, he only has two arms, but these arms can stretch. In all stories, he usually inhabits like liminal spaces, like an entrance to the woods or forest or areas of like abandoned grounds, like think like back rooms. So funny because we just talked about liminal spaces.
Yeah.
Really the other day. That's crazy.
That's wild.
He usually is in pulling children away from their parents and their friends. And once a child makes known contact with Slenderman, they usually are never seen again. They usually end up missing in these stories. But there is, through all of the stories, there's one thing for sure, and this is consistent. If there is a picture captured of Slenderman, then the person in the photo or the person taking the photo will go missing.
Oh.
And there's one rule. Never look out the windows at night.
Don't worry.
They're wide open.
Thank you.
Thank you. When this hit the mainstream internet, there was a YouTube series adaptation launched called Marble Hornets was an alternate reality game YouTube web series, and it was inspired by all of the different versions of Slenderman. It was the first web series created around Slenderman, and to date, it now has 92 videos on its main channel. In the game, Slenderman was known as the Operator. This character carried through to 2015 when the game was actually turned into a film, and the movie poster is like a depiction of Slenderman, and the title is Always Watching. A Marble Hornet story. Through Marble Hornets is when the Slenderman symbol was introduced, and it's a circle with an X through it. Almost immediately, those obsessed with Slenderman and were correlating this symbol to his horror, posting memes that say, remember, this is 2010, guys. They're posting memes that say, stay calm and keep out of the woods. And then the O's and woods would have like the Slenderman symbol.
Oh my
symbol.
God. That you is know, like, so 2010.
I know. I love that. I used to wear a shirt whenever keep calm was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so keep calm. So stay calm and keep out the woods with the zeros in the woods filled with the Slenderman symbol. But as this character grew bigger, so did its audience. And people were 1,000% convinced that this humanoid was an actual real cryptid. Even though cryptids are arguably real or not real,
right.
People, this was a fabricated character, somebody who made this all up, and he's now turned into this cryptid being.
Yeah, like he bypassed
he's a legend now.
The what lore is to be passed down and passed down and passed down.
Right.
Because it's the internet.
But people were arguing that he is a real cryptid because he and his story can actually be proven throughout history.
Hmm.
And the earliest argued reference is found in a Brazilian cave painting, and it dates as far back as 9000 BC. These cave paintings were found in the Serra da Capivara National Park, and they show this like elongated character, and he's like kind of leading a child like by hand, as well as like he has like, if you thought of the version of Slenderman with like the tentacles, this is what he has. He has all these extra like appendages, which is just one of the variations of Slenderman. Again, this can be argued to be anything. I think the real question is, what the fuck is it if it's not Slenderman?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's Slenderman. I think that he was a fabricated story for a Photoshop contest. But like, what the fuck is this then?
Okay.
That's the thing.
No, wait. What the fuck is that?
No, what the fuck is that?
It's like a tree with a head on it.
And it looks like a lizard head, doesn't
it? And they're
it?
Like fractals. Yeah, it does look like a lizard head.
So anyway, some people say that this is like the first like thing that you could argue. Like, yeah, that could be Slenderman. The next known reference is from 3100 BC, and it's found in Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's in the reference to the Thief of the Gods, or the Thief of Kuk, I think is how you say it, K-U-K. The carvings that represented there were found in the pharaoh's tomb, and it's rumored that the pharaoh had some sort of encounter with an entity that was depicted in the hieroglyphics. And this carving is, or this entity, is this strange figure that has, again, multiple upper limbs. And it's also a carving that has never been found in any sort of hieroglyphic language, allegedly. But I'd like to argue that it clearly has been found in other hieroglyphic cave paintings, right? Because it looks, what they're describing, another tall figure with multiple appendages, is literally what's in the freaking
original
pic? What's it called, the Brazilian cave paintings.
Yeah,
like that's what that looks like to me, like what they're describing. I don't have a picture of this one,
right?
But I'd like to argue that they're very similar.
Yeah,
and maybe they were uncovering something totally different, sinister, and no bueno. Yeah, like Slenderman, because we don't know what that is,
right?
You know, but like, what if that, like, what is that then? Because why is something so similar not in any other Egyptian hieroglyphics?
And it's just written about there.
And it's, they're comparing it to Slenderman because it compares to the cave paintings. But right, really, if they took out these two lines and they connected the cave paintings to the right hieroglyphics, those are pretty fucking similar.
Yeah, those are
so
really
what is
similar.
That then? Like, what are,
what
are we,
really is
what
that then?
We drawing?
That's really interesting.
And the third reference in history comes from two German woodcuts, and these were found in the Hausberg Castle in 1883. They were done by the woodcutter Hans Freckenberg, and they featured a character he described as Der Ritter, or the Knight. His picture showed a skeletal, multi-limbed character. Historians are really unsure of the exact symbolic nature of the character, with some claiming that it is a personification of like a religious war that had raged on Europe at the time, but others say that it could represent the mysterious plague that had been believed to be the reason why Hausberg Castle and the nearby villages were mysteriously abandoned in 1543, which I'd like to cover.
Yeah.
Because I was reading on that and that sounded really cool.
That does sound really, really cool. And so, I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah. However, many insist that Freckenberg, who was the artist, was attempting to represent, I'm going to butcher this, Der Grobmann, which is German for the tall man. So who the fuck is the tall man?
Okay, Slenderman.
The legend of the tall man is that he was this fairy who lived in the Black Forest. And any bad children that walked the woods at night would be relentlessly chased by the tall man. And he wouldn't leave the children alone until he either caught up to them and they would disappear, or they were forced to tell their parents whatever it was that they did was bad.
Let me tell you something about these German folk. They don't be fucking around with scaring the hell out of their fucking kids.
And this is actually a piece of an old journal from 1702 in Germany. It says, quote, "My child, my Lars, he is gone, taken from his bed. The only thing that we found was a scrap of black clothing. It feels like cotton, but it is softer, thicker. Lars came into my bedroom yesterday, screaming at the top of his lungs that, quote, the angel is outside. I asked him what he was talking about, and he told me some nonsense fairy story about Der Grobmann, or the tall man. He said he went into the groves by our village and found one of my cows dead, hanging from a tree. I thought nothing of it at first, but now he is gone. We must find Lars, and my family must leave before we are killed. I am sorry, my son. I should have listened. May God forgive me."
Oh, geez.
That's from 1702 in Germany.
Wow.
Some other similarities to Slenderman also appear in both Romanian mythology and English mythology. There is a Romanian fairy tale that tells a legend of the tall man, in which the tall man causes a mother to kill her husband and child before he slid from a fireplace and clenched her in his burning embrace.
Wow.
And the English myth focuses on something called the tree man. The tree man is said to have this slim body with appendages that look like tree branches. He's only known to be seen in the woods and was used as a story that parents told their children to, like, prevent bad behavior.
Right.
Allegedly, there have been quite a few disappearances of children that have been said to be linked to the tree man. At this point, something wasn't adding up. Depictions of this fake story now have real history and legends that could possibly prove it. And it caused this kind of moral panic.
Yeah.
Between a lot of people. And a lot of people became obsessed. They were asking, is Slenderman actually real? Or did we, the people, the public, the paranormal world, talk about it, obsess over it so much that we, like, somehow glitched it into our history and into our world?
Well, yeah, you can, because if you,
like,
if you
we
feed
created
energy,
it.
If you feed something so hard with energy, it can
right.
become.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, there are tons of variations of Slenderman creepypastas. Like, he is a theme. He is a theme, guys, across the creepypasta website.
Yeah.
I believe that I found the original one, but once people read this, they became obsessed, reading different Slenderman creepypastas one after the other. The one that I have for you today is titled Slender Man, and it's written by Anonymous, and I'm reading this word for word from the creepypasta website. After waking up with a jolt, the girl laid in bed a few seconds longer. Reaching over to switch on her bedside lamp, she tried to remember exactly what had stolen her sweet slumber away. When she couldn't, the brunette swung her legs over the side of the bed and heaved herself up. Checking the time on her phone, she snorted when she saw it was midnight, the witching hour. Knowing that sleep would only evade her, she left her bedroom for the kitchen, a good cup of coffee on her mind. As she passed by her front door, a chill spread like liquid fire down her spine. It's only winter, she told herself, focusing again on the coffee plan. Measuring out scoops, water, and preparing her cup kept her occupied. But as the dark liquid boiled, she had nothing left to keep her mind from wandering off. The chill returned, and she couldn't help but glance behind her to the front door. It stood there, innocently enough, just like always. The deadbolt was still in place, and she could see nothing amiss with it. Turning back to her coffee, she did her best to forget about the feeling. With her cup in hand, she started back towards her bedroom. As she walked by the front door, she decided that a quick glance out of the peephole would help calm her restless mind. The chill worsened with each step she took towards the door and further away from the safety and warmth of her blankets. She pressed her empty head against the cold metal door and took a deep breath before leading her eye to the peephole. At first, she could only see an inky blackness and somehow seemed to swirl in itself. When she blinked in surprise, the void melted away. She wished it hadn't. In its place, there stood what she could only guess was once a man. The limbs were long and inhumanely awkward, with bulky joints branching off into several arms, not unlike the branches of a tree. The creature was draped in a black suit, somehow making the thing more nightmarish to her. The icing on the proverbial cake, however, was what passed as the hellish thing's face. It was as though her mind blurred the ghastly visage to spare itself further shock and horror. She shoved herself away from the door with the hand still pressed against it. The scalding mug of coffee fell, the liquid burning her bare legs as she fell backwards and tried to crawl away from the door. She knew somehow that her mind hadn't been playing tricks on her. As she crab-walked away from the door, she watched as tendrils as black as the void she first saw snake around through the cracks. Fucking shit, bitch.
Yeah, that's bad.
The girl was trapped between the instinct to flee and the gut feeling to not turn her back on the door. When the door jolted, the urge to flee overcame her, and she slipped in the burning liquid as she tried to make it back to her room. She knew deep down that she was trapping herself in a corner, but she had to get away from the door. The girl was halfway down the hallway when she heard the previously locked door creak open. She screamed and slipped into a wall, cracking her chin on it and stunning her. After that, there was only blackness. Nicole, a warm male voice snapped the woman out of her trance. As she turned around, she was met by one of her sister's doctors. She nodded, not sure if she should say anything or even if she could find her voice if she did have something to say. That morning, she had gotten an urgent phone call from the hospital saying that her sister, Lindsay, was there. Before they had even let her see her, the doctor had pulled her off to the side and insisted that they talk to her about what might happen. Phrases like self-inflicted and assault had been thrown around, and Nicole felt her mind reel. She still hadn't fully understood what they had been saying until she saw Lindsay with her own eyes. Her little sister had a bandage wrapped around her head, covering both of her ears as well as her eyes. They said it was to keep her now deadened eyes from drying out and to try to keep infection out of the wounds Lindsay had made to her ears. The doctors had guessed that either she or someone else had jammed a pencil into them to keep her off balance or to deafen herself against something. There was the mix of first and second degree burns on her hands, legs, and feet from what was assumed to be the coffee her neighbors found slipped all over the entry to her apartment. As Nicole walked into her sister's hospital room the first time, she thought she had spied the silhouette of a man in the window. That, she knew, was impossible. Her sister's room was on the third story of the hospital. So basically, when it switched to Nicole, when she went to the hospital, it was the girl with the coffee cup that was in the hospital.
Right.
And she had no more eyes, no more ears, and she was bandaged up.
Jeez.
And then she saw Slenderman
outside the window.
So I'm ending today with this, as the Slenderman creepypasta stories are what inspire. And I hate saying the word inspired in this situation, but it gave motive, I guess, to the case that Taylor will be covering today. pause what we're talking about. You guys know we're obsessed with Rocket Money right now.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I just got a notification yesterday. You know how they give you like a, you spent this much last week.
Yeah.
This is $17 over your average week. This is what it told me. You spent $75 last week. This is however many hundred dollars less than what you usually spend in a week. And I'm like, oh my God,
Rocket Money. Are you seeing that? I'm saving money?
Oh my God, Rocket
this
Money.
This literally told me I saved like $600.
Oh my God, queen. Thank you so much, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place.
With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel subscriptions that you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. And we've talked about that in the past. We have found so many subscriptions.
I can't even like fully admit everything that
it's embarrassing.
No, why I think everyone needs just to get it, just to try it out, just to see what the hell they're spending, because I had no idea.
It's a reality check.
And
for
Rocket
sure.
Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All that you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest.
Amazing.
With over 3 million users and counting, Rocket Money customers have saved an average of $720 a year. That's what I saved last week. So
thank you,
that's
Rocket
exactly
Money.
That's exactly what I saved last week. Thank you, Rocket Money. Stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
That's rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
Thanks, Rocket Money.
Imagine all your audio entertainment available in just one place. That's what the Audible app is all about. With Audible, you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new. Audible has an incredible selection of mystery and thriller titles and originals, like Something Ain't Right by Roger Stringer and Zachary Stringer, The Space Within by Greg O'Connor and Josh Fagan, and the Audible original, Moriarty. Membership includes access to Audible originals, podcasts, and tons of audiobooks that you can download or stream as much as you want. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title per month from an ever-growing catalog of titles to keep. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, whether you're traveling, working out, doing chores, wherever your day takes you. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
So today, just before we get into it, I'm going to be covering the what is referred to as the Slender Man stabbing from Wisconsin in 2014. If you are familiar with this case, you already know that this deals with 12-year-old girls, a lot of mental health discussions and internet safety when it comes to children, but the attack of a young girl will be discussed. This has been a case that has been requested for as long as we've had the podcast, and I felt like this would be a good time to discuss it because they were peers at school, and I think that this is a case that can help open people's eyes to just how vulnerable children are on the internet when there is a lack of control about what they're looking at and what they're seeing. So we're going to get into that, but I wanted to make sure you guys had all the trigger warnings. And I also want to let you guys know that yes, you can Google and find the girls' last names that are involved in this, but I am not going to be saying their last names. I'm only going to go by their first names just because they're 21 now and I just don't want this to be something. We'll talk about it, but you'll see why in the end. And you can very easily Google it. I just can't have that on my conscience. So let's get into it. It's 2014 in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and three 12-year-old best friends, Morgan, Anissa, and Peyton, were happily making plans to celebrate Morgan's 12th birthday in May. Peyton and Morgan met and became very close friends in the fourth grade. Peyton was described to be a very kind, empathetic little girl who was always willing to make new friends and find the best in everyone. Morgan was a very clever young girl who loved telling jokes. She had this huge imagination and was always very happy and high energy. Morgan and Peyton shared this love for sci-fi, video games, and fantasy. They were absolutely inseparable and loved being together. So when it came time to move on to the sixth grade, the two best friends
friends were so excited to take on middle school together. But this also meant that there would be new friends to make, which is very intimidating after being in school with virtually the same group of people for most of your life since kindergarten. Morgan met Anissa on the school bus because they lived in the same apartment complex. The two started hanging out a lot and becoming very close. So Morgan then introduced Anissa to her best friend, Peyton. And I feel like most girls have experienced this at least once in their lifetime when a duo has to transition to a trio and just how hard that is, especially how hard it is at this age to do. I mean, I'll never forget how intimidated I was, number one, to go to middle school, but also when you see all of your elementary school friends making new friends, it's like very intimidating because you want to be friends with those people, but you know, maybe they had known them from church or, you know, somewhere else. That's just my experience, but it's very intimidating. And I always have said this, like there are trio girl groups that are absolutely iconic and they make up for each other in different ways. It's either they work out perfectly because everyone balances each other out, and or it's like there was two people that were too close for the third one to actually be brought in. And maybe there's one person that's best friends with both of the friends. And that's kind of hard because you would never catch the other two best friends hanging out with each other without the third. So that's kind of like what the dynamic of most, I would say, trio girl groups are. They're hit or miss. And when you're in the sixth grade, yes, you probably did play with a group for most of the time that you were growing up and like in elementary school, but you always had that one best friend. And then when you're coming into middle school, that best friend's your only best friend.
Right.
And so it makes it even harder. Anissa wasn't really excited about meeting Peyton. Anissa initially came off as pretty much a mean girl. Peyton felt that this was simply just fueled by jealousy because of how close she and Morgan were. Peyton really tried her best to keep the peace, make Anissa feel welcomed into their friendship, and not feed in to that mean girl energy that was coming from Anissa. At some point, though, a shift happened where Morgan and Peyton no longer had the same friendship that they had prior to meeting Anissa. Morgan kind of took to Anissa a little bit more than she did Peyton. Like I said, Anissa and Morgan lived in the same apartment complex, so they spent so much more time together than they did with Peyton. But it was not the time that they were spending together that made Peyton unsure about her closest friends. Instead, it was an interest that Anissa and Morgan shared that did not sit right with her, which was Slenderman. The two of them had become obsessed and tried to share this with Peyton. They tried to like explain what their obsession was and like the whole story, all the stories of Slenderman, but she just couldn't get on board. Peyton was worried about just how fixated Morgan and Anissa were becoming with Slenderman. And it scared her to the point that she was kind of debating with not only herself, but with her parents. Like, I don't know if I want to be friends with them anymore. And again, this is something that is so hard when you first experience it, and it always happens in middle school.
Always.
It's like, do I want to keep being this person's friend? Are we on the same page?
Or did we just veer off two totally separate different paths?
Right. This is something so normal, but when you're young and you're in the sixth grade, you feel like if I break up with my friend, I'm not going to have anyone else.
Friendship breakups are way worse.
They're the worst, 100%. Even though Peyton couldn't relate to Slenderman and Slenderman obsession that the other two had, she still wanted to have friends. So she tried her best to just kind of push past it and be normal with them without Slenderman. But no one could have prepared her for how much Morgan would change or obsessed she would become with him. She was willing to do anything for Slenderman, including sacrificing her own best friend. On May 30th, 2014, the three girls gathered together at Morgan's house to kick off the birthday celebrations. They went to the skating rink, they had some frozen yogurt, and then they returned to Morgan's house for a sleepover. Typically, the girls, like all 12-year-olds, would stay up all night long.
Right.
For a birthday sleepover.
Prank call a couple people, do giggling, your makeup,
telling stories.
Yeah. Talking about who you like,
all the things. But this night was different. Morgan and Anissa were so tired, they said, and they wanted to go to bed because they wanted to get up early the next morning so they can enjoy most of the day together before everyone had to go home. So the girls go to bed. On the morning of May 31st, Peyton, Morgan, and Anissa woke up earlier than usual for a sleepover and decided to go on a walk in the nearby park. And this was at the lead of the birthday girl, of course. Once they got to the park, they decided that it'd be fun to play a game of hide and go seek in the dense woods that surrounded the edges of the park. So Anissa and Peyton ran to hide while Morgan turned around, closed her eyes, and began counting. Anissa instructed Peyton to lie down on the ground and cover herself up with sticks and leaves to try and camouflage herself. And she did as Anissa instructed, and Anissa helped her by covering her up too. But once Peyton was down, she was now extremely vulnerable. And Anissa did the unthinkable. She held Peyton down and called Morgan over, who quickly approached them, holding something in her hand that she had pulled out of her bag.
Oh my God.
It was a 5-inch long kitchen knife. Trigger warning, I'm going to give the details of the attack. You can skip forward if you need to. As Anissa held Peyton down, Morgan began to rapidly stab her best friend since the fourth grade a total of 19 times in the torso, arms, and legs. Morgan and Anissa quickly jumped up and left Peyton alone, severely injured and badly bleeding in the woods. Peyton had deep wounds that punctured her diaphragm, her liver, her stomach, and 2 stab wounds that barely missed an artery to her heart by less than a millimeter. Somehow, Peyton had survived the attack and mustered up the strength to pull herself out of the woods and to a nearby road, which is where a bicyclist came across her and immediately called 911. Peyton told the first responders who had done this to her and what happened as she was being rushed to the hospital to receive life-saving treatment, and she survived.
Wow.
After 5 hours of searching for Morgan and Anissa, police located them near I-95 at a furniture store. The two had walked almost 5 miles away from the crime scene, still carrying the knife used to attack Peyton in the bag that they brought it in. When asked where the two were headed, Morgan told police that they were on their way to the Nicolet National Forest, which was approximately 200 miles away, to, quote, meet Slenderman at his mansion, called Slender Mansion, end quote.
Oh my God.
The two were arrested and brought in for questioning. Through interviews with detectives, they learned that Morgan and Anissa had been planning this attack for over 5 months. Their original plan was to attack Peyton during the sleepover, but they changed their mind so they could do it in the woods last minute. They claimed that the reason they had to do this to Peyton was to appease Slenderman, who they believed to be 100% real. If they were to sacrifice Peyton, they believed they would become his proxies. Morgan showed absolutely no signs of remorse for what she had done at all, whereas Anissa did, but only a bit after the fact. During the attack, Peyton recalled Anissa saying to Morgan, "You do it. Go ballistic. Go crazy. Make sure she's down." Though Anissa felt remorse for attacking Peyton, both girls were on the same page of them having to do this in order to appease Slenderman. So for that, they felt no remorse.
Unbelievable.
After spending 7 days hospitalized, Peyton was cleared to go home. However, she still needed to receive treatment and therapy. But by the end of September of that year, less than 4 months after the attack, she returned back to school.
Wow.
Following the investigation, Morgan was charged with attempted first-degree homicide, and Anissa was charged with attempted second-degree homicide, both being waived out of the juvenile court to be tried as adults due to the horrific nature of this crime. Morgan's mother, Angie, explained that growing up, Morgan often experienced a variety of hallucinations, spanning from colors melting down walls, ghosts, and having 2 very active imaginary friends who she named Maggie and Seb. But the ghost that she saw most often was who she called It. It was what Morgan described as a man whose body was the color of smoke and ink. He would appear standing behind her in mirrors or shift around corners in the same manner that Slender Man is described to move. After Morgan's arrest, Angie reported that her daughter had become floridly psychotic. And I had to Google what this meant because I didn't really know. And so I'm going to explain it to you guys who don't know. It's a form of psychosis where the patient will experience disorganized speech and thinking, severe delusions and hallucinations. They withdraw themselves socially and they lessen their hygiene and grooming, along with various other symptoms. Correctional officers also observed Morgan often speaking to herself, keeping ants as pets, pretending to be a cat, seeing and speaking with what she said were unicorns, Slenderman, Snape, from Harry Potter and various other fictional characters. After just over 2 months in the correctional facility, Morgan was moved to the Winnebago Mental Health Institute to determine if she was fit to stand trial. On October 22nd, 2014, she was diagnosed with early onset childhood schizophrenia and sent back to the original jail that she was placed, where they decided to continue on prepping her for trial and explaining law instead of providing Morgan with appropriate treatment and medication, meaning her schizophrenia was continually left untreated. For 19 months, Morgan remained in a state of severe psychosis, completely out of touch with reality. Finally, in December of 2015, she was sent back to the Mental Health Institute, where she was diagnosed originally, to receive treatment. There, she was given antipsychotics, and this allowed her to get enough rest that her brain could get enough rest to process and clear her mind enough to fully understand the scope of what she had done and how long it had been that she had been in a psychosis state. After which, she was finally able to express feelings of remorse, empathy, and sorrow.
It's fucking sad.
It's really sad. Unfortunately, though, 3 months later, Morgan was returned back to jail. Yes, they sent her with her medications, but she was still rapidly deteriorating mentally. As for Anissa, she explained that following her parents' divorce, she experienced this need to cling on to things and people, examples being Morgan and Slenderman. She went on to explain that both she and Morgan feared that if they did not attack Peyton and become Slenderman's proxies, Slenderman would kill their families in a matter of seconds. Furthermore, teachers noted that following her parents' divorce prior to the attack, Anissa began showing very clear signs of depression that led her to developing a, quote, delusional belief system, which only continued to be fueled with Morgan's friendship through Slenderman and the hallucinations that Morgan was experiencing and believed to also be real. It was said by Anissa's attorney that she was, quote, under the command and control of a delusional disorder, end quote. Though I have never been able to find any confirmation of a diagnosis, I do know that she was being treated in the same mental health facility as Morgan. In 2017, Anissa pled guilty to attempted second-degree homicide, which is a Class B felony since they were being tried as adults, and the jury found her not guilty by, quote, mental disease or defect. Anissa was 15 years old at the time and sentenced to 25 years to life in prison, which she would serve at least 3 years in confinement and involuntary treatment at a state psychiatric institute, followed by communal supervision until the age of 37. That same year, Morgan also pled guilty, but was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect based off of her schizophrenia diagnosis, which her father also suffers from. However, Morgan was given the maximum sentence of 40 years to life, with 3 years in confinement, involuntary treatment at a state psychiatric institute until complete resolution of symptoms or the age of 53, whichever is to come first. Also followed by communal supervision, periodic evaluations, or treatment. In 2020, Morgan appealed the court to be retried as a juvenile, petitioning the Supreme Court of Wisconsin to review the ruling, during which her attorney argued that she should have been charged with second degree intentional homicide, not first degree homicide. Also arguing that Morgan gave her statements to the investigators, which were used in court prior to being read her Miranda rights. Both were denied in 2021. On March 10th, 2021, 19-year-old Anissa submitted a letter to the court in a hearing saying that she regretted her actions and was deeply sorry for all the pain that she had caused not only to Peyton and her family, but the community. After that hearing on July 1st, Anissa was released from the Mental Health Institute and moved back to jail. She was then assigned a State Department of Health Services case manager who would track her progress until the age of 37. On September 13th of that year, she was released from jail. However, she is required to not leave the county without permission and must wear 24-hour GPS monitoring devices. Her internet usage is fully monitored, and she is not allowed to use any form of social media or access the internet outside of her father's home, where she is required to live during her probation. Anissa is also required to take her prescribed medications and be personally escorted to receive counseling sessions with her caseworker. Following Anissa's release, Peyton had to be moved out of the county. There, she had grown up, gone to college. She was in her second year, but she was transferred to another undisclosed college because of her being released. ABC's.
That's pretty fucked up, actually. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's 100% fucked up. I do want to talk about this. Do I think that there are multiple layers to this? 100%. But the victim should not be forced to leave their home where they feel safe.
Right.
And where they felt protected and where they have made progress from the time that the attack happened. Right. In fact,
the other Anissa should have had like county limits and like you can't enter this county. You're arrested as soon as you enter.
And they should have made her and her father move to the outskirts of it. Whatever. Yeah. If that's what they needed to do. And she's not allowed in.
That's fucked up.
Peyton and her family. I think that's so fucked up. And I think it's such an oversight.
Yeah.
And that's probably the one thing in this case that I will like definitively take a stand on in it. But I do want to say that in an interview with ABC's 2020, Peyton later said that if she were to ever see Morgan again, she would probably thank her because due to the attack, the medical treatment she had to receive and how amazing her medical staff was, she now has aspirations of pursuing a career in medicine.
Oh,
yeah. I think that's really sweet of her to say because I would not have been mature enough to say that.
Right. That shows what a good person. I mean,
and what an amazing person that she has to be.
That shows healing, which gives me a little bit of comfort.
A lot of work.
Finding.
It does. Directly following the stabbing of Peyton in May of 2014, the Waukesha School District immediately placed a district-wide block on Creepypasta Wiki. The members of the Creepypasta community then held a 24-hour live stream on YouTube from June 13th to the 14th, donating all proceeds to Peyton and her family. Admins for the site also used this stream to show the community members that a Creepypasta is simply a literary website and outlet, not to be taken as fact, making it clear that they do not condone or support murder, bodily harm, or satanic rituals, which is what Slenderman ritual would have
been. Right.
But I would like to personally end this segment by discussing the dangers of the internet. As adults, for the most part, we can see a creepypasta, we can hear a creepypasta, listen to ghost stories.
Hell, y'all believe half of them. I read.
No, right. And like, but there's still like, no matter what cases we give to you guys, it's healthy to have skepticism in anything that you're hearing. I think adults can separate that much better than children.
Right.
And we understand the difference between lore and reality or what a creepypasta is instead of, you know, taking it as fact. And I think that children need to be educated about that, especially when it's a child that does have access to the internet. And no matter what the social media platform, it's on YouTube, you can find creepypastas, Instagram, Facebook,
everywhere.
Like
before we were on the internet, we were getting them in text threads.
Yes, in text threads all the time. And so it is something that needs to be maybe like addressed with your children.
Well, I also wonder if schools have implemented any sort of like internet safety for like starting in like elementary school, reiterating in middle school and reiterating in high school, because I didn't have any.
I didn't have anything like that. I'm
curious to know if they do implement some sort of internet safety class or like a once a month.
Like a thing that they have to do or training.
Right. But like a DARE program.
I do think even if you think like, okay, this is nothing that my kid would ever come across, maybe just being like, hey, you know how mommy, daddy, aunt, uncle, whoever listens to podcasts, we listen to scary stories. Like, how do you go about being like, I think this is what the issue is with it. How do you go about with a child being like, this is lore. This is a real ghost encounter. This is not real. This is
a story. Like kind of like Cinderella.
Yeah.
Those are called fairy tales.
Like a fairy tale.
Instead of a fairy tale.
A nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
This is nightmare fuel. And we call them creepy. I mean, you could say it's called a creepypasta. A creepypasta. Like give the terminology for it. A creepypasta is this. It's like a dark version of a fairy tale that you see.
But it's not real.
But it's not real. And they write them and they do very good, but it's a book. It's written.
It's like a story.
It's an internet story. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So I think that
it's a scary movie.
Yeah, it is. And it's just like so hard to like.
It's like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Put into terms. But like who's most vulnerable in the situations like that?
Children.
Unfortunately, it's little girls like Morgan and Anissa and even Peyton who have this interest in sci-fi and fantasy and being scared and playing around on the internet. Like those are the little children that are at risk and also like
are easily influenced
by it.
But it made them feel special.
It made them feel
a part of something.
Right. And especially when you mix something as terrifying as Slenderman and the lore of Slenderman, Creepypasta Wiki with Morgan who did not know that she was experiencing hallucinations.
Right.
Because if you don't know
That's what it is. That's reality to you. And
so if that's her reality, then who's to say Slenderman isn't real? You know what I mean?
Right. So in her head, it is. She truly felt that this, both of them truly felt that this was something that was so real. And not that that makes it right, because it absolutely fucking doesn't. It's just that there is a mental health aspect to this that really needs to be discussed. It needs to be implemented in schools to help children who...
For sure.
And so anyways, I just felt like this was a really good, important like conversation to have with kids that are going back to school. There is internet. It's at their fingertips. And
it's more accessible now than it ever has been. This right. is in 2012, right?
Yeah, this was in 2014.
This was 9 years ago.
Right.
The internet has progressed.
Right.
Like, I see horror stories all the time about like games, because Roblox has like different games.
Yeah.
I think that's the right app I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The game. And there's like crazy stuff on some of those games. So like while your kids are playing Roblox and they're probably only building little castles or whatever they're doing, like there are additive links in there that could take them to something totally different. And right. they're so susceptible. That and you just never know.
And it's not fair and it sucks. And we as like a society should do a better job at protecting children who For are sure. at risk on the internet. It's just as wild if you lost your kid in a mall. Like that is how vulnerable children are mm-hmm. that have access to internet but don't have the maturity at the age, because they don't have the education or the life experience to understand that they are not safe, even though they're hidden behind a screen. I think it's something that's very important. I think it fuels a lot of crimes that we see, children on children crimes,
mm-hmm.
which I would love to see the research on that, about the internet and how it affected peer on peer crime,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of makes you feel invincible.
Yeah,
the internet yeah. does,
and especially with, I mean, you could pull in cyberbullying with this, mm-hmm. and
we can go on
blanket.
And on.
It's a brick wall in front of your face that you do think you're invincible because yeah. you think no one else can reach you from the other side of that.
No one can come kidnap you,
or the iPad,
from through the computer,
or the switch, or
right.
any of that.
No one can harm you through it, but then you have this mental health crisis with suicide rates being at an all-time high for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the internet. It's simply put, that's what it is. You can say whatever you want to. Your brain is having to constantly flood this information and separate it between what's real, what means this to me. Like, how can you look at a screen all day fucking long? Now all their work is on, they don't even fucking use paper, barely. My sisters have Chromebooks that are given to them at right. school. So it's just, they're constantly on a screen all day long. It's become like their bedroom, or how our bedroom doors, we'd shut the bedroom doors, is that's our screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to wrap this up because we have got to get off and record another episode. But we're going into the school year. I know this was
Stay
a lot
safe.
Of heavy case.
Have fun.
Teachers, you're the fucking best.
Moms, you're doing great.
Moms, dads, you're doing amazing. Like
all of our high school listeners, fucking crushing your last years. You know, they say that those are the best years of your life. And I know when you're right now that you're like, absolutely, they're not. Like,
absolutely fucking
it's
not.
It's got to get better than this. But truly, like, it's such like a carefree
so fun.
World that like, just live
just
it.
Just enjoy it. Just do your things. Let's talk to, we didn't talk to the teachers in the beginning, which we normally do. Teachers, how
Love
are we
you.
Doing? Let's do a check-in. We doing good? How's that water bottle? Did you get a new Stanley for the school year?
I'm loving the TikToks.
I'm loving the TikToks. I love teacher talk. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
I'm always on it.
Dude, why?
I feel like I should be a teacher sometimes.
You know what? That's what everyone always said when I was growing up, that they thought I was going to be a teacher.
In kindergarten, it said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Me. Teacher. Like my Aunt Jackie.
Mine was a kitty cat doctor.
Oh, okay. Well,
and then a rock
mine
star.
Mine was realistic, so.
A kitty cat doctor and the rock star.
Not a veterinarian, just specifically a kitty cat. And your name has to also be kitty cat with two Ks.
Kitty cat doctor by day, rock star by night. I think I've made it. I think I've truly made it.
I think point. Also I said astronaut.
Teachers, I would love to hear all the unhinged crazy shit that you've learned in the first week of school. I think that this that would be my favorite part of being a teacher, is just all the whack ass shit that kids say.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure that you get some wildly interesting yeah. things when you ask them what they want to be when you grow up. I would love to know what my teachers thought about me.
Me too.
But you're doing good. We're
so proud of you.
We're so proud of you. We're
the
so
hard job.
Fucking thankful for you. Like, thank God that there are people like you who educate the youth and create awesome people and become kind of like parents for people
mm-hmm.
In a different space. And I think that that's really valuable, and not a lot of teachers get that.
And to our homeschool mamas.
Oh,
you're also killing it.
Homeschool mamas. I know you're so excited. You know, like I feel like every homeschool mama I've ever met, they're like.
And homeschool's like so different now. Like it's like either one or the other. It's either just cyber school or it's like they go balls to the wall, creating an entire classroom in their house.
Right.
It is incredible.
And then you also have like the nature learning.
I love seeing those too.
That is the coolest concept. I've never I don't know much about it, obviously, but I would love to learn more about it. Also, moms that are, you know, getting to drop their kids off. How are we feeling? Are we very fucking
Are you ready to listen to more Creeps and Crimes?
Like, I know
teachers on your block period. Are you tuning into Creeps and Crimes?
On your block while you're sitting there drinking. What is it that I swear every teacher on Teacher Talk drinks? Those like teas or whatever, like the mixes with like all the like crystal light thing.
Like Water Talk.
Yeah, it's like Water Talk
and Teacher Talk combined.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's kind of like a crossover.
Has
right
to be.
There. My favorite memory of a teacher, which I do want to bring up it, and this is my like a bigger adult teacher, like not like an elementary school, but still kind of younger, because he was my eighth grade history teacher. His name was Mr. Kidwell, Coach Kidwell. And that was my favorite subject. It's the only subject I've only ever been able to get behind. Like,
I hated history growing up.
Why? I love, well, because it's stories.
I was like, give me the science, give me the math. That's what
you get to.
I
like,
hated English, I hated writing, I hated history.
Science, I hated English.
Math, sign me up.
I loved social studies. That was it. Everything else. Because it was just like hearing stories all day long and like getting to learn all these different parts. But I didn't fall in love with history until I had Coach Kidwell as my teacher. And every morning when we would walk into his classroom, he had this like coffee pot in the corner of his room. And he always had like the big Folgers can back there. So when you'd walk down the hallway in the morning on your way to his class, it would just smell like coffee. Mm-hmm. And you'd get in there and it would just like the whole room had that like, I don't know what coffee smell in the morning does like to me. But if I smell coffee, I'm up, you know, like
stimulant.
It's like even I'm excited, smell. You know, it's also calming because it's so homey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how his classroom was. He never had on the harsh lights. He only ever had on lamps, which I feel like is like a history teacher like thing.
Yeah.
You're like, don't turn on the fucking fluorescent lighting.
My history teacher in eighth grade was a dick.
Really?
Yeah. So like our middle school and high school was combined.
Oh, okay.
So like it was just separated by like the one hallway is middle school. I mean, there's two.
Yeah.
Three on the high school. But anyway, so he had like a split room where one of his doors was middle school.
Right.
And then he had an exit or another door on the backside that would get you into the high school. Well, middle schoolers were not allowed in high school. Right.
Right.
So anytime we were bad, and it's so funny, I actually had this class with Aaron.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he, what is his fucking name, dude? I don't fucking know his name. Kaufman or something like that. Anyway, if you were bad, he would be like, Mounts, go to the back porch. You're being discourteous and rude to others.
Discourteous.
Is that like a word? Me and Aaron say it all the time because we always got in trouble. So me and Aaron would literally be on like the high school side of the doors.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it was called, the back patio. When you got in trouble, you had to go to the back patio and you'd sit outside the high school doors. And it was mortifying and embarrassing because all these high schoolers are like looking at these middle school kids because their classes are shorter. You know,
right.
So they're walking around and you're just sitting there like not allowed to be in class because you're bad.
So you had to sit on the high school side when you're in middle school.
Yeah, dude.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
No, Coach Kidwell was never like that. He was very
easy. Our history teachers were
like
dicks.
I'm pretty convinced.
I actually fought with another
one. He was like a straight up like RAF guide. He was a baseball coach. He's just that chill. But he like had a very special relationship with every single one of his students. And at the end of the year, he like brought us all in. It was our eighth grade year. So it was our last year. And he was like, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And at that point in time, like, obviously, I had no idea.
You
rock star kitty doctor.
Right. Like, I think you might have grown past that. And instead of kitty cat doctor, you might have just been kitty doctor.
No, I would have been a feline specialist.
Oh,
you know, I was that adult.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. I didn't know what feline was. By the end of the year, he like sat us down. He's like, well, what do you like doing? And I was like, I like storytelling. I like talking to people. I like learning about people. It's so interesting to me. I love history. I think it's, you know, the only topic that I ever have done well in school. So I tell him at the end of the year, I said, you know what? Everything that I've learned from you and in this experience in this classroom, I said, I think I want to be a history teacher. One day I could be a history teacher. I think I'd be good at it. I like to impact people's lives. I love telling stories, and that's what history is. I didn't know that podcaster was an option. Here I am. This was all before finals. The last day of school, I come in and he asked me to come to his room, and I kind of thought I was going to get in trouble, even though like I'd never done anything to get myself in trouble. But I go in there, I'm nervous. He takes his American flag down from his wall and he folds it up for me. And he said, my eighth grade history teacher gave this to me and I want to give it to you. And I still have it to this
day. Why isn't it hanging up in here?
It doesn't match my decorations. It's at the River House.
Yeah, I have it. My mom got it like pinned and framed, and I have it in the River House.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that so sweet?
Yeah.
Like, what random teacher ever would be like, you know what, like, I believe in her enough. And that was the first teacher that I ever had be like, I believe in you and to be in something. You can do what you want to do. Like, that was the first person.
Yeah.
And it meant a lot to me because people that struggle with ADHD, like, you get it. Like, you were normally the most frustrating students to have in class. We're the ones who can't pay attention. We're the ones who are, you know, fidgety and all the things. But anyways.
Eighth grade, they didn't give a fuck what we wanted to do. They're like, get the fuck out.
No, I had no idea
what I wanted
to be. Our curriculum
was very poor, though, in my school. We did not have a good education in my high school, middle school. I had really good teachers. So there's a select few that sucked, for sure.
Was it just, like, your curriculum?
I mean, we'll just think, like, my entire high school probably only had 330 kids.
I just
kids.
Don't get it, though, because you're so much more intelligent than me. Like, you had to have been with a better foundation.
No, dude. Whenever we compare, like, if you were to talk about, like, the class you had in high school, that wasn't offered to me.
Yeah.
And
like, marketing and sports entertainment?
Fuck no, bitch. We had math, science, reading, social studies, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't a good educational program at all. Like, even, like, we talk about it, like, with my other cousins who, like, went to different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, it was so much more advanced. It was so, like, what you were probably doing in ninth grade, I was doing in like an advanced class in 10th grade. So like
I was in the dumb classes.
So it was just like things like that. Like it was very behind. Like we had really bad like state scores. And
wow.
But then you have to think of like all those teachers who did give me the education that I do have. Like my science teachers were great. Like I was taking organic chemistry in high school. I was taking AP chemistries. I was taking AP maths. And like those teachers that gave a shit, like how hard they had to work
to get past, like, yeah, with what they were given.
With what they were given with.
Yeah, like, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah, I don't have any stories like that.
You don't have any good teacher? You do have a teacher. You've talked about a teacher.
Fifth grade.
That's it?
Yeah.
Not one high school. What about a professor in college? You were in kinesiology.
Please. They were all freaking pitches.
Yeah. You don't have a single teacher that's, like, in your older years that you were like, wow, I feel like I, you know, have something from that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I guess because you also like didn't have the opportunities to like get into the classes that you were most interested in, you know,
right.
Like if you had an anatomy like and physiology class, like that would have been something you ate the fuck up and like got super connected with your teacher, which is why having a good education.
Like I had great teachers.
Right.
Like I had teachers that I would go
if you
stick around in their classroom, but it wasn't like anything like
impactful.
Right.
What was like the coolest like learning thing that you did? You know, like we always think like the egg drop.
Ooh, I guess middle school. I guess it would have been sixth grade. Maybe, no, it had to have been earlier than that. No, because Aaron was there and maybe fifth grade, because that's when we merged schools.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Challenger Museum,
like
the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And it was a field trip. And this is the coolest thing ever. Like I would go back and do it today. And
they
split you up. The first half of the day, you get to work in like the NASA space station and you like get designated, like you're on controls, you're on this, and you have to launch the shuttle.
Wow.
Right. So that's your first day and they teach you and you like hit the red button and you have to talk over the mic and like there's big screen and you're like in the like auditorium thing that's like stage, like a NASA room. And then the second half of the day, you're inside the spaceship and you're getting those. So we were giving controls to the other half of the class that was in the spaceship.
Oh.
And so the second half of the day, we were in the spaceship and we were on a mission and we had to like gather samples. So we were like getting controls first way to land the ship. And then we were getting controls from the other half of the class that was in NASA now. And we got to like use these controls to like pick up moon sand or Mars sand. And like we'd have to put it in a test tube. But like we were using like with the hands,
you know,
the
things
in the glass and like space suits. And then we got to dress up and stuff. That was
where did you go to for this? Was it just like in Pittsburgh? Like,
no, I think it's actually in West Virginia.
Wow.
Maybe Ohio.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was the coolest field trip I've ever been on.
Oh my God, I never get to go on a field trip like that.
Yeah.
We went to Dollywood once.
We never, see, a lot of schools also did like shit like that. Like ours had to be educational
Yeah, that's really cool though, because the reason why we had to do other things like that is because there's nothing really like that around here.
We did a lot of like a Fort Necessity, Friendship Hill, like a lot of like
Civil War shit, obviously.
Civil War shit. Yeah. But there's one place called Meadowcroft Village, and you went there. This is kind of twisted, guys, actually. It's like a time capsule. You like enter this village, and it's like you're back in like the 1700s or 1800s, God. And you're like churning butter and you're spinning the thing to make like yarn and you're like making candles and stuff and milking cows.
Wow.
But then you got to go to the schoolhouse and you would volunteer, three girls, three boys. I, of course, volunteered to be the girl, and they were showing us how they would punish you.
What?
But when in the schoolhouse, this is like a one room schoolhouse, you know, probably 15 desks, and we all had to sit down, and the boys had to wear bonnets, like the girl, like girl, like bonnets,
like baby bonnets,
and stand up there. Yeah, baby bonnets. And then the girls had to stand there like this, and they would were stacking books
with their arms out
on our hands, and we had to keep the books held up or else like they were like, you know, we smack you. But like they didn't, but like that was like how they were showing us, like, this is what happened when you were disobedient. This was actually from, we did that field trip. This was not a public school field trip. This was from the private Christian school that I went to.
Very much. That tracks.
And that definitely tracks. Yeah. And yeah. So, but I loved Meadowcroft. I was like, we're going to Meadowcroft again this year. Yay. Like, I can't wait to make my own candle. Like, I did love going there. That was so cool. I always volunteered to be the mischievous girl student that had a whole stack books on her hand.
I mean, yeah, 100%. A witch.
Yeah.
A witch. Always has been. Always will be.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool place.
Forever will be that witch.
It's pretty fucked up. I think it's closed now.
I mean, yeah, I would assume so.
No, we never really had like any like science stuff around here. The one, okay, this wasn't like a school trip that we went on, but like my mom, Amy, Scoots, and my cousin and her mom, we all went down to Atlanta to go see the body exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fucking cool. It was crazy.
I would love to take you to the Carnegie Science Museum.
I don't know.
Even
what that
though
is.
It's for kids, you would love it.
What does it do?
They have like, well, one, they have a submarine that you can like walk through. But like besides that, they have all these science things.
Mm.
And you like can be like in a tornado simulator or like stuff like that. But like a lot of like anti-gravity things. And like it's mostly for kids. But like my mom like would make it a point. So, okay, in this winter time, if you made snowballs and you froze them and you brought the snowballs into the Carnegie Science Center during the summer, 10 snowballs was a free entry per kid. So in the winter, we'd be like, we got to get our Science Center tickets. So we would make snowballs and we'd keep them in the deep freezer in the garage. And then summertime, my mom would have to pack up a cooler, keep the snowballs whole. And they were like, they would grade your snowballs. And they would fucking let you in regardless.
Right.
They grade your snowballs. And no, the Science Center is the fucking dopest place ever. And they have one of those theaters. It was like one of the first ones. I swear to you.
Like the IMAX?
Yeah, but it's like the dome.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the dome. So you would like watch like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, my God. Like I went and saw like Planet Earth or whatever it was that came out in like, what, 2005 or whatever it was. That big one that everyone had to go watch in an IMAX theater.
Mm-hmm.
That one, we went and saw that. That was so cool. That was so cool. You know, I never grew up really going to a lot of museums, but
my mom loves museums. We went to
Logan
all of them.
Loves museums. Logan grew up going to museums. And so it's been like kind of like a learning curve for me to learn to like museums.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd think someone like me who loves history, I would love museums, right? They're just hard for me sometimes. I get so distracted in there. Mm-hmm. There's so much fucking going on. Like, I wish they were just paths and you follow that fucking path and you go down that. Anyways, guys, thanks so much. Sorry that we're just chit-chatting away.
All right. We love you guys. Have a good
school year. Love you. Bye. See you next week for Creepy Accounts in September.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.